All right, ladies and gentlemen, it is 6:30. I'm going to call this meeting to order. The first item on the agenda is the Pledge of Allegiance, led tonight by Councilmember Leland.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thanks, everyone, for coming out tonight. Full house. That's good to see. And a special shout out to our county commissioners with us tonight. Welcome to our humble digs compared to yours. Thanks for coming out. Appreciate you guys. Take the time to come see us. First thing we have up after the Pledge of Allegiance here is the presentation by the Montana Commercial Property Assessed Capital Enhancement, or CPACE, Adam Gill and Caroline Jones. Go ahead.
Thank you. And I have handouts. I wasn't sure what we would have for technology, so feel free for the council there. And I'll move through this pretty quickly, but if any time you guys have questions, feel free to interrupt me. So basically, thanks for having us tonight. I'm Carolyn Jones, Adam Gill, Executive Director, myself as CPACE Program Manager with the Montana Facility Finance Authority. The organization's been around since the 80s, primarily providing a marketplace to the tax exempt bonding. Nonprofits. So in 2021, the Montana legislature enabled legislation for the Community Property Assessed Capital Enhancements Program. And in that legislation, they named the Montana Facility Finance Authority as the statewide program administrator for the program. CPACE, as it's commonly known, is basically it's an innovative financing structure that allows building owners to find a way to finance energy efficiency improvements, water conservation improvements, or adding renewable energy solutions to the properties. The improvements do have to be permanently attached to the property, and the project has to be cost effective. So basically, the savings that the business owner and property owner will recognize over the useful life of the improvements that are installed must be equal to or greater than the costs involved in purchasing and installing those. If the project does require an energy assessment or an energy audit be done by a qualified contractor, basically reviewing the project that the property owner wants to conduct and making sure that the equipment is going to be used as industry standard best practices, the modeling done to calculate the savings and the energy costs and the improvement purchase and costs of installation is not going to be anything that is some fly-by-night contractors trying to sell something that's not industry standard. The legislation also does require an independent third-party review be done of that energy assessment. Again, a party that's not involved at all in the construction or in the project whatsoever reviews that information. Again, looks to see that it's industry standards, best practices, the modeling software is accepted, and that there was just no accidental math error in that, so that the program can assure that the project is going to be cost effective. Then, contrary to a commercial loan, a typical commercial loan for like a piece of HVAC equipment that is paid back, and a commercial loan on an equipment loan that would be maybe paid back over 5 or 7 years, the financing that's done under CPACE is paid back through a property assessment as opposed to a monthly principal and interest payment. So it is a special assessment, just like an SID or an RID on the property owner's tax bill. And that is the term for that is typically tied to the, or is tied to the useful life of the improvement. So that can typically be as long as 20 to 25 years on that. So that helps really cash flow the project for the property owner to make those improvements on there as well too. So basically, why CPACE? Montana started looking at this originally back in 2017, got passed in 2021. The Environmental Protection Act basically states that about 30% of the energy used by a property owner is close to the energy costs. So in Montana, that's $1.2 billion spent in energy on commercial and industrial properties alone. You can imagine what those property owners and business owners could do with an extra $350 million plus if they weren't spending it in heating the outside air on days like today as much as they are the inside of buildings. Eligible types of properties are commercial, industrial, mixed-use building, agriculture, and then multifamily units, which are four or more dwelling units. And we do projects such as new construction, retrofits of existing buildings, and we can also do retroactive financing. So property owners have made these investments up to 36 months in the past. The program can look at basically financing that under CPACE and helping that property owner. types of measures that are going to be funded by CPACE, again, energy efficiency, water conservation, or renewable energy. So obviously solar PV, water conservation can be some low flow plumbing, low flow fixtures, water fixtures, urinals, things like that. And then also water reuse and irrigation. And then typically within the energy efficiency, a lot of HVAC, some lighting. We can't finance just the light bulbs themselves, but the switching out of the ballasts from like fluorescent to LED lighting. And then other types of costs that improve, other types of improvements that would improve building envelope efficiency, and also elevators is one that I didn't realize about. CPACE, there's an example there in your handout, basically, of an example of about $1 million project and where CPACE fits in the capital stack and how it's beneficial for a property owner. Basically, you can see on the left-hand side, a project could equal about 10.5% of cost of capital for that property owner. By replacing the owner equity that's required and reducing the mezzanine debt, I'm replacing that with a lower cost long-term fixed financing with the PACE financing, they can reduce that cost of capital down to less than 8.5%. So that can be a significant savings for those property owners. And again, a real benefit for them in making those types of improvements that you're looking at making. Local government, it was set up in Montana, basically, that we are a statewide, again, program, and again, administered by the Montana Facility Finance Authority. Local governments participate by opting in, and that is basically a three-step process, holding a, or adopting a resolution of intent, holding a public hearing where the public can address any concerns or questions and learn more about the program, and then adopting a final resolution. Once that's in place, basically the that local government entity has opted in. Property owners within that jurisdiction are able then to access the CPACE program. We work with them basically in referring contractors to provide that energy audit and energy assessment. We also work with them in potentially referring to a lender that is interested in providing the CPACE financing. One other caveat that the legislature put in place is that we do require a senior lender consent. So if there is a lender that does have existing debt with that property, they do have to be notified and also consent that CPACE financing being placed, because again, it is placed as a tax assessment on the books. The role of the government, basically, once they've established a district, then they basically work with the property tax system and basically input that CPACE assessment, just like an SID or an RID, and then bill and receive the actual property tax payment. Once that payment is received, then the funds come to Montana Facility Finance Authority, and we track and pay, further remit those funds to the actual CPACE lender on behalf of the borrower. That's helping the government, local jurisdiction, basically not have to worry about tracking which lender currently holds which loan with which company. The other thing about CPACE assessments are they're non-recourse, which basically typically means the loan is against the property, not necessarily the actual owner or individually or the business that's in that actual property. And then those CPACE assessments are also non-accelerable. So if for some reason a property owner gets behind on the taxes and there's a senior lender involved, they can only work with looking at what's the current payment that's in arrears or in default, and they can't call the full note. So, for example, if they had $500,000 CPACE financing and the property owner got behind on $50,000 for the 1 year of annual payments, for an example, that the they could only work at calling that $50,000 payment. They could not call the full $100,000 loan at that point in time. So that also helps the business owner. Basically, in the improvements they're making, they're helping turn a variable type of expense into a fixed operational expense, a lot more fixed than it could be in the raising environment that we have right now for energy costs. So basically, then the role of the government, other than adopting that, receiving and collecting the payments, is just the impact on the county treasurer, because it is obviously with property tax in Montana, the way the statute is, it's ruled through the county offices to collect and remit those payments. So there is an example of typically we try to approach counties at the county level to get a jurisdiction, so we don't run into a situation where a property owner is on one side of the street is in a CPACE adopted district, another side of the street is not. Currently, we're reaching out to City of Helena and City of East Helena as well. We have not been able to get Lewis and Clark County yet to approve a CPACE district, and we do have businesses in those areas that are talking about projects. So we'd like to get those districts adopted and in place. So there's an example of the benefit of that can be resulted from the improvements increasing the value on there as well too. There's also a few examples of projects that we've recently done. We've done four financings in 2024. One was a commercial retrofit in Billings with an existing building that was built in 1929. As you can imagine, it probably wasn't in the best of shape. The owner was able to get partial rents, but not fully lease the full space. He was able to make improvements with the heating, the insulation, the lighting, added some solar, and just really improved that building and is able to now fully lease that space. He did about $1.6 million in CPACE financing. And over the savings that he will recognize through the energy costs, in addition to additional revenue, he'll be able to recognize over $13 million in savings by making those improvements. So it can be significant for the property owner to make these. The other three are basically the same property, excuse me, the same business owner who owned three hotels in two different locations, two in Butte and one in Bozeman. And he saw the benefit of adding solar panels to his properties. So he invested probably less than $250,000 in each of those three properties. And he's going to recognize between $350,000 and $400,000 in savings over the life of those solar panels in that property as well, too. So there's additional information on YouTube, but I'm happy to take more questions if anybody has any.
I do appreciate you coming out, and this is very interesting. I think we'll have a discussion maybe internally about this, but this is good information.
Yeah, and our contact information on
yeah, the county and Helen are not currently on board with this, though.
We are currently working through those. We are on the agenda for the City of Helena's meeting on February 19th. We have had meetings with county staff. We're trying to still answer some questions. County Treasurer had, we feel that we've answered those, so they have mentioned us that they will look at addressing it and getting it maybe scheduled in 2025.
Thank you.
Hey, comment.
Yeah, go ahead.
I had recently visited with Adam, and I appreciate you all coming out and would like to look into creating the resolution to potentially adopt this for the City of East Helena. I think that a number of projects within city, both residential and commercial, good benefit from this, there's no to low impact on the city as well, so right. And low to no impact on the county as well, just as we have with our SIDs or RIDs. So look forward to working with you and Pete. Hopefully to
one clarifying comment on that is, as far as residential, we are unable to do residential PACE, but we are able to do commercial PACE, but multifamily, so 4 units or more.
That's
so
what I meant. That's what I meant.
Some people think residential and they think single family. There is a product nationally called RPACE, but there's only 3 states that do it. It's kind of been fraught with issues since it rolled out. So just to clarify on that.
Well, this is informative. Thank you. Okay.
We do have also templates for the resolution of intent and the final resolution, and I'm happy to fill in probably like 95% of that and provide that to an appropriate administrative staff that you guys can review and have the county attorney, or excuse me, city attorney review and see if there's any questions, and we can definitely put them in touch with our council if need be.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. Next up is public comment. Note this is the time set aside for public comment on all matters not on the agenda. If you have a public comment on an agenda item, please save that comment for the period of time in which the agenda item is being held. Pretty busy tonight, so I'll give a public comment for 4 minutes per. If you have any public comment on non-agenda items, we have mine. No, nobody online was. Anybody in person? All right, we'll move on. In front of you have the minutes for the January 7th and January 21st meetings. Provided for you. I'll take public comment on those minutes now. Seeing no public comment, council.
I do have a comment. Oh, no, on the almost to approve the minutes from January 7th.
I'm motion to approve the January 7th minutes as presented.
I'll second.
And a second. All those in favor?
Aye.
I'm abstaining because I wasn't.
Yeah, that makes sense. That's what the look for. I'm like, are we gonna do this?
So I need to say it.
Yep, you do. All right. You also have the January 21st minutes in front of you. Is there any public comment on those minutes? Seeing none, council.
I was not here for the January 21st meeting. However, on new business number 2, there was a request to waive the fee for Kennedy Park, but then it mentions approved use of Main Street Park. I think it was Kennedy all around.
Yeah, it was. I don't know why that did catch with Wes. 100%.
Other than that, I'm not voting on it. I just want to make a comment about myself.
Thanks, Rob. We will change that.
I'll make a motion to accept the minutes as amended or with amendment.
I have a motion to approve an amendment.
I'll second it.
And a second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
All right. That moves us to the city court report. You have that in front of you. The left by eye on that, I know we were having judge come in infrequently, but he is doing the best he can right now. He is pretty much staying home with his wife and doesn't have a lot of care for her at this point. But the ability to come here isn't great at this moment. When that returns, I think he will return to coming when he can. So nothing really new or exciting there. That brings us to Amy on the administration report.
I put NETG's December report in the packet. Also on your table is an email from the League of Women Voters. They called today and want to do a channel discussion with area local governments regarding land use for the next 20 years. So they are requesting a representative from here to attend that. And I can ask you guys later about that.
We'll find somebody.
Okay. All right. And then also today, the elementary school let us know that they would be touring for 227 days again. So I don't know if you get your stickers ready or that'll be several hundreds kindergartners coming through the building. They're fun. We enjoy their visit. They're really cute. And Shane Pursley scored us $800 more from Lewis and Clark Public Health for our wastewater samples. The trust group has paid the first quarter of rent on the room upstairs, and they've been slowly moving stuff in. Also, we've been invited to participate in the county's community needs assessment again, which was very informative and easy on our part to participate in. And that's all I've got. Those are good questions.
Any questions for Amy? Thanks, Amy. Oh, we have Chief Sanders with us here tonight for the police report.
Evening, everybody. Well, we had another busy month. In December, we had 446 calls for service in January, and we wrote 20 new case reports. Also in your packet tonight, I'm part of the Missouri River Drug Task Force that quarterly meeting last week and put in some 2024 statistics for you all to see. I can see that all the drug seizures, the methamphetamine, marijuana, fentanyl, and cocaine seizures were down in 2024 compared to 2023. But they're making some great cases and putting some bad people in jail. Not all of its base are not all successes in drug investigations based on drug seizures. But anyways, if you have any questions about that, I can answer that.
I do have a question. Do you want us to wait till the end of your presentation?
Go ahead.
With the drop in seizures, do you or the task force feel that there's an actual drop in the trafficking of it, or more sophisticated and smarter people getting away with it?
I wouldn't say there's a drop in any supply or usage. I would just say that the drop of seizures might be attributed to a number of things, working large scale conspiracies and whatnot. So a lot of the things that they're working are outside of Helena area, outside of the state of Montana. I think they're focusing more on, not that they're not focusing on seizures, they're doing the seizures when they're available or the opportunities there, but the focus is indicting and convicting the people who are the higher level people who are responsible for supplying the illegal drugs in the state of Montana.
Thanks, Chief.
Hopefully that answers the question. Say about a week and a half ago, we had our 2022 Ford Explorer damaged out in the parking lot. We had an angry, he's telling a citizen that broke the mirror. We were able to just get it back today. It's $1,163 to get that repaired. The person has been identified. They've been issued a citation, and we'll be seeking restitution. Fingers crossed on that. As everybody knows, well, hopefully everybody knows, if you don't, our DOJ COPS grant is currently under a temporary restraining order. So we can still get money at this time, but we'll keep an eye on that, and hopefully that stuff will continue through. We'll just see what happens. February 6th, I'll be participating in the Helena Police Department's Captain Promotion Board. And on February 10th, I'll meet with the Jefferson County Sheriff and Undersheriff for a meet and greet. I spoke to the Undersheriff yesterday afternoon. He said the real reason for the meeting is they want to say thanks for some recent assistance that we provided Jefferson County. They've been in the Boulder area or on the other side of the hill and asked for assistance, and we were able to help them out on a couple of things. So nice to have an attaboy for those types of things. And then we sold our 2013 Ford Explorer. Thanks for allowing us to do that. And we sold the 2016 Dodge Charger for a total of $7,470. And we'll work on getting that 2010 Chevrolet sold as well. That website that we've been using, or that government, well, I don't know, whatever entity is that puts it up for sale, has been very helpful. They set up the site, the sales stuff for you. All you have to do is give them the information and give them some pictures and things like that. And they set it all up, take care of everything, and pretty much notify you at the end that, you know, it's been sold for this much money. So, and we're going to use some of those proceeds, not all of them, to purchase our new weapon package, which Officer Chris Kirkgaard will be talking about here in the future. But that's all I have for now.
Thank you, Chief. I'll bring this to Public Works. Yeah.
I'll be quicker than Mike, or I'm going to try. So first off, a little sad news. Shane's mom passed away last night. So if you haven't heard, he's going to be out this week. Plans on coming back first part of next. So we'll continue to support him and do what we can do there to help. A couple things on the solid waste side. I just wanted to make sure that you guys understand that it's been brought up a few times with public comment stuff about garbage cans that are heat full or overfull or garbage on the side. And Scott does a great job ever since I've been here since 2016. Whoever that garbage truck driver is, it's kind of up to their discretion. But those repeat offenders that are constantly overfilling cans or extra garbage, Scott does report those to the utility clerk, and they are billed an extra dump for that month. So don't go unaccounted for. Obviously, like the day after Christmas or those kind of things, we don't do that. But those every are overfull, he does address. This is a funny story about Scotty. So we were talking about the garbage stuff, and he said that he had to go into town and buy a new air horn. And I said, what do you mean you got to buy a new air horn? And he says, well, I carry around one of those can air horns that make the loud noise. I said, why do you do that? And he said, well, when the kids do this and want me to honk the horn of the truck, the truck horn in the garbage truck is kind of wimpy sounding. So he said, I got embarrassed about the way that horn sounds. So he says, I hold that out the window now, and I make that go off. So just made me feel good that our employees actually care about our residents, you know, and are having fun with their jobs. And it was good to hear. Kayla and I had a meeting with Federal Highways last week. I think last week. Must have been last week. It's kind of the hurry up and wait now on the raise grant. Unfortunately, both of our representatives for Federal Highways accepted that early buyout. So we're losing both of our representatives. They thought it would be a 30 to 60 day delay until we have a new representative assigned to us. As of last week, they said they were going to be there for two weeks from, I think, last Tuesday. They said that they were going to get our application submitted. Everything's turned in. Budgets are all updated with them. We're just kind of waiting now to see who our new representatives are and hopefully go ahead with that. The biggest thing is they changed the name from raise to build. So if you start hearing that, it's pretty common that that program has changed names, I think, with every administration. So nothing that we're too worried about at this point. Just be glad to get a signed agreement in place. So that was that. Had a meeting with the school district. They had some parents bring up concerns about the crosswalk at Kalispell and Main Street. I included the traffic study we had done a few years ago on that again. It just doesn't meet the criteria at this point for MDT to do anything. I mean, when they did the study, I think it says it had like 3 kids a day cross it. It's very minimal. We agree that it is a concern. There's maybe some possibility down the road. Kelly and I were looking at maybe some raise grant or some TA grant options just to look at and see. At some point, we'll try to do something with it. My immediate hope is maybe we can incorporate that crosswalk and the one that we'd like to put in at Harrison and Main Street with this raise grant when we address the crosswalk here at Main Street in Montana. We'll work on it. But again, if you get concerns, I think I speak for all of us. We worry about those 3 kids across there. They're just, there's not that trigger point that, you know, there's no accidents reported. There's not a whole lot there. So we'll work on that. And then lastly, Habitat for Humanity came in last week. They are preparing to do a presentation for y'all. They want to do a kind of a day of service for the East Helena area where they go around and help residents that need it, just like a spring cleanup type of a thing. So I told them that we would probably be open to that. They just need to come and present to you. So look for that in the next coming months. Any questions?
Thanks, Kevin.
Chief Campbell's excused tonight. So that brings us to unfinished business. First order item board of business on the unfinished business is the Newtown pump deviation from the garbage ordinance. It has Kevin on here. We don't have the numbers yet. I'd like to move the unfinished business on. We can't give you an accurate assessment of yet because we don't have a tonnage from that they've dumped yet at Tri-County. So we know the numbers. We're hoping next meeting we'll have some for you, but we want to make an accurate decision on this. We're gonna have those numbers. So that's where we're at. So at this point, I'll open a public comment. Seeing none, I'll probably expect tabling.
I'll move to table.
A motion to table.
I'll second it.
And a second. All those in favor?
Aye.
All right. Second item. First reading of Ordinance 292 that regulating Jake Breaks. Have him here. We have, you guys saw it last week, the kind of the idea of it. The red part of the definition there is provided for you in front of you of what a compression release engine brake is. Nothing changed from last week when you presented it, correct?
Nope. Yes, we're just adding the definition for what a compression release engine brake is. What you have in front of you is 911, Title 9, Chapter 1, Part 1 of our city code. Just adding that definition. And then the next section, 9912, is a new chapter, a new part of that chapter for miscellaneous driving rules, just saying you can't use them in the city limits. And as we discussed with conversations, enforceability on Highway 12 is not something we're going to be able to do, but all other streets we dwell. Depending on your questions, that's pretty easy.
This is about the basis, I guess.
Just got to catch me in the air.
Any questions?
I have a question. What is the or I don't see anything here on fine or what the penalty for using?
It's just going to fall under the general penalty, but I can make it more explicit if you want.
Can you explain the general penalty to them?
But
Overview of it. I mean, is it a $50 fine? Is it $100 fine? Or
yeah, I think it put me on the spot. I don't have it in front of me. It is something to that effect. Some money and maybe jail time. I think we took the jail time out. If not, I think we have.
Keep you aware of the jail penalty.
Well, we can be more explicit. It's just a moving.
It was intentionally put in the gentleman. We can't make it a specific fine.
No, I was just wondering what the fine was. Since it's not listed there, I wasn't aware of the other that would have pertained to it.
Is this point, is there any public comment regarding the jake break ordinance, number 292?
Are there signs up that say no jake breaks?
There are no signs up that say no jake breaks now.
Yeah.
Then we have signs available. Put them up upon passage of this possible resolution. They did not go up before the resolution was passed.
Yeah. I just heard some today. Pretty loud.
You listen, you'll at your house, you'll hear them every day. it's a new thing, huh?
You're soup.
I get a lot of public comment on this one. I'll put it that way. From, yeah, the office in the house. Anyway.
If you wanted to make an amendment to add the reference to the penalty, I can go ahead and do that. So you would pass it as amended, and I'd have that in front of you for second reading, which might make it clearer. I just, yeah.
Any further public comment? Council.
The question I have is, where would the signage go? Still on Highway 12? Do we have the ability to do that?
No, I think it would essentially be the main routes coming into town. So the other, like, valley.
Wiley would be a poet right now.
Valley. Yeah, anywhere that we identify an issue. But generally, I think it's the one going into the town pump is the one where we're getting new traffic.
Put one on Lane and tilt it toward the road.
Tilt it. You know, maybe it doesn't get plumb.
Right. Okay, that was my question.
Any further discussion, Bill?
I'll move to approve pending an addition of a reference to the penalty.
As amended, sounds good.
As amended, please.
Okay. I have a motion to approve with an amendment to reference the general penalty.
I'll second.
And a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Righty, you'll see that. Thanks, Trevor. Don't worry. All right, that brings us to new business. Fun stuff. This is actually a fun one. First thing on new business is Lewis and Clark Library East Valley Branch feasibility study. John is here to discuss it with us, but I'll give you a little background history just before he kicks off here. We all kind of met once, and then me and Wes went and met with him at the library and kind of had a little, I don't know, brainstorming session when you go with that. It's about maybe where we could, this maybe fits in best for the city, and I'll let John take it from there.
Thank you very much, Mayor Harris, councilors. My name is John Finn. I'm director of Lewis and Clark Library. Andrea Eckerson is with me today. Andrea is the branch manager of the East Helena Library. Also, several folks from the East Helena Library Site Committee. This is a committee that's been working for more than a year trying to find a place to build a new library building in East Helena. We want to be on the coattails of East Helena's expansion, and we are ready to make a significant investment in East Helena by building a brand new building. We just need a piece of land to do that. I just want to tell a little story that in 2003, I was in Nashville and walking down the Music Mile, and I kept seeing a bumper sticker on all the cars that it was a big white bumper sticker with red letters that said, "A city with a great library is a great city." And I think we kind of bring that to Helena and all of the towns that we have a library in. And again, I think we are ready to make a big investment in East Helena. So have a little presentation. So next slide is what our vision is. And our vision is we would love to be able to integrate a new library building into JFK Park near the swimming pool area. We believe that it would become a community hub for East Helena while increasing usage and enhancing the usability of the park. Just having a facility there that had good lighting, staff to help guide folks through the park, restrooms, community spaces, maybe even a coffee shop. Who knows? So that's our vision. That's what we want to discuss with you guys tonight, is that vision. And I'm going to turn it over to Andrea for a couple of slides. Next slide.
So the value of libraries. They help with economic growth by attracting residents and visitors. East Helena is a vibrant place to live. It's growing with great amenities like parks, and if we get this new public library, that will be another amenity. The new public library facility will offer programs of all ages, recreational and informational materials, and a place for the community to gather and connect. Libraries provide business resources and information. So when somebody comes into town, that's often where they'll go. So it'll help with people who are starting new businesses, people who are moving into the area. So it becomes a community driver of entrepreneurship. I'm glad I said that. That's a tough word. And it would inspire the next generation of business owners contributing to life in East Helena. Public libraries are part of a robust community. A new library would drive more people to visit East Helena, thus benefiting business owners and the East Helena economy. And I'll let you just look over those bullet points. After school, children that don't have anything to do from 3 to 6 are the ones, that's where the crime rates go up. So having a place for teenagers, right now we don't have one in our current library, so having a place where they can go and hang out and not cause trouble is a benefit to the community. Young children who arrive at school ready to learn are 4 times more likely to graduate from high school. So that also, that's early education. Story times really support early learning, and that is something that a lot of people come to the library to do. Our story times are 25 people almost on a regular basis, so they're growing. Lots more bullet points, but I won't get into all of them. So we will move on to the next slide. Need for a new library. Obviously, you all know East Helena is experiencing significant growth with a lot more growth coming. So the library, with that growth, we see 10 to 15 new cardholders every month. We have over 1,000 cardholders now,
almost
1,200. So we're outgrowing our current facility. And let's see what else. So we are also seeing Helenans coming to our library. If Helena isn't doing a story time for some reason, they come and visit us. So we get a lot of that. We get a lot of traffic where people use both and they bring all their materials to us and our shelves can't hold all of that. And then I already said about our meeting room, we get 16 to 24 story time participants. So our meeting room is already being challenged in capacity. And in our last family movie had 30 people. That was on a Saturday. And then the community room is booked for programmings like guitars for veterans, homeschool groups use it, business calls. So they have the quiet space, tutoring, some social work takes place there. So we're growing. So we need a new library. We'll let John take over the rest.
Okay. So next slide. So the things that we were looking for, we were looking for a central location that was walkable, one that was close to schools. You know, we thought about being part of the new development on the other side of the highway, but we really wanted to make a commitment to this part of East Helena. We looked all over for an existing building that we could remodel or a piece of land that we could purchase. And in our hearts, we just kept coming back to this piece of property in JFK Park. It seemed ideal for a library location. Jeff Downauer from Mosaic Architecture has been working with this committee for over a year, and we've identified this piece because it's close to schools. It's really close to Prickly Pear and Radley. It's next to the swimming pool. We are envisioning vinyl furniture so that it's easily wiped down. And it's going to provide synergy with JFK Park. I've been to a lot of libraries that are built in parks, and it's amazing how, if done right, the park becomes part of the library, and the library becomes part of the park. I've done a couple of slides ahead. You'll see some examples of parks that are libraries that have been built into parks. It'll provide connection to the trails. Again, like I said, we'll have public restrooms, information kiosks for people to access information about the trails. And really important for libraries today is the ability to support community events. The main library's meeting rooms are used on average 140 times a month. We have two meeting rooms. They're open to the public. Government agencies use them for training. There are public meetings. We do a lot of programs, but 140 programs a month in the meeting rooms at the main library. Let's move on to the next slide. I'm going to turn this over.
Yeah, is that okay? Yeah, that's great. So my name is Jeff Downer with Mosaic Architecture. I just want to explain a little bit the thought process and what we're looking for. We haven't designed anything at this point. I think we met with the mayor and council member Feist, and we just discussed as a concept and tried to understand what the implications might be and what the concerns might be from the city. So what the concept was, we understand the city has quite a lot of property there, but they really want to try to reserve as much of that as possible for any future projects you might have. So the challenge was, and I think it's actually the mayor's idea, like, could we put it in a spot that you wouldn't use it for anything else? And we identified this area that might be kind of west of the pool where the tennis court is. So our job was simply saying, well, is that even feasible? Is that something is even worth pursuing any further? So we did a very quick plan. This represents a library of about 11,000 square foot footprint, which is about three or four times the space they have now. So it'd be a major facility in town. And with that, what we did conceptually, just said, well, as part of this, perhaps we could redo the parking lot, we could get better circulation, we could get safer sidewalks, we could actually provide accessible parking, which none of the parking in the parking lot is currently actually accessible. So there could be a lot of synergy with that, and we realized we could do a library that basically opens up to the creek side and to the trails and could really be great space for, again, as John mentioned, hosting community parks. So I just want to explain, all the property that's north of the pool would still be open. I mean, it could be overflow parking, it could be a future city facility for some other use. So we're not really taking up any of the usable property in this particular idea. So that kind of gives you a sense of scale, I think, against everything else that's in the park. And is there one more?
Yeah, one more.
I think we zoomed in one more time again. We just wanted to, in our mind, get a little better concept. And again, you can kind of see how the library might fit in relationship to the pool. It's actually between the utility building, the pool, and the pool house. It's not that dissimilar in size. And in this particular scheme, we have about the same number of parking spaces. They're just better organized. It's kind of a free-for-all right now. So I guess I wouldn't say that this is the idea. It was just a really initial test. And this would lead into the next part of the project, which we really want to talk about tonight. And that's it, moving into a true feasibility study for this project.
I'll let Jeff do the next one, too. Okay. That's the examples of libraries.
Yeah, so we did a little bit of research on library, and we have found that really parks and libraries, that's probably the number one spot if you're going to build a library in the city. They tend to look for parks to put them in. Belgrade isn't open yet, but you'll know the new Belgrade Library is just going to be completed and built in a park. Bozeman's main library backs up against a park. They have some park amenities extending into there. And we found that really around the country. That's kind of a natural synergy there, and it does a couple of things. One is cities can't afford to staff parks, right? And libraries oftentimes can't afford to have tons of acreage to do outdoor programs and host community events. So when you put those together, it's not that the library is staffing the park, but you have a presence there. So it's just not, you know, wide open. So you have some sense of oversight, at least while the library is open. There's a lot less issues in those park spaces because they know there's people on site, there's other activity on site. So what cities have found is that's a really good mix of uses. It enhances both of those. It enhances the library and certainly enhances the usability of the park. But again, the other thing I'd like to note is this is, you know, a huge trend right in Montana the last few years, and is moving forward with cities that are redoing or renovating or building new libraries. So we have obviously Helena redid their library, Missoula, Billings, White Sulphur Springs. Lewistown is looking at redoing their library. We just did the Polson Library. We're looking at the Troy Library. Hamilton is doing a study right now for expand their library. Basically, every town you can imagine in Montana in the last 5 years or in the next 5 years will make an investment in their library. So I think people have identified it's a really important asset. And I think this is a great opportunity. I know the LC Library is, sees this as a great need for the community, and they would kind of love to be part of that solution.
So for us, though, would be a feasibility study. We don't know if this will all work. So we would like to identify the best method for us to come to an agreement, if that's something you would like to think about. We would love to get city staff input, have some public outreach, maybe some community meetings, some surveys. We want to verify the floodplain. Verify that utilities will work there, what park improvements we can help to accomplish, identify stormwater needs, and create design concept to test fit on site. Again, we're not sure ourselves. Create a cost estimate to confirm financial feasibility. We have a figure in our head, but we're not sure if that's a truly accurate figure or not. And forecast operations and maintenance costs for us being on that site. And so what we're asking for tonight, really, the next slide, is a motion from you guys to express support for the idea of us moving forward with a feasibility study, to pursue a detailed feasibility study. And what that would mean is Lewis and Clark Library would conduct that detailed feasibility study. We would work with the city and the community, returns to city for review of study, and city and library craft an agreement for land use that defines responsibilities for each party. That's what we're asking for tonight. Again, we would love to make that investment in East Helena. We have a great team working on this, and I think it would be something truly special that you guys want to think about. So thank you.
Thank you, John.
Yeah.
So just kind of give a little history. I think you guys kind of, all you guys are aware of this, the property and the history of the various requests that have been in front of you regarding that property before. I think this is a pretty unique one. When presented with it, we did express to the library, you know, the prior concerns, and there was some bit of, you know, brainstorming. I guess is a great word to use there. Obviously, you guys are also aware of the concerns with the parking lot there and the inability for us to, and I think that this is an opportunity for benefit the community and, you know, provide for something in the parking lot too. And I think there's a really good opportunity here. We do have some written public comment before I go to oral public comments from Mr. Grisman for the school district expressing support for this motion. So I would encourage you guys all to read that written public comment from the superintendent of public comments. At this point, I'll open it up to public comments in the room.
John Myrtle, small schools. We're excited to have something like that so close to two of our elementary schools. And we're going to utilize that quite a bit, I think. So we'd really like to see this go forward.
Please.
I'm Helen Fonder. I am currently on the library's board and on the site committee. But I just want to tell you people that in 1974, when I first moved out to East Helena, not native, almost, but the City of Helena Library was only City of Helena. And that meant that because we moved East Helena, I was going to have to pay $5 a year for myself and my son to get library books. And I decided books were only 35 cents at that time, paperbacks. So the group got together and we carried a petition around East Helena and other areas to make the then Helena City Library a Lewis and Clark Library, County Library. So that was a long time ago.
It's awesome. Thank you. Any other public comment? Please.
Hi there, my name is Callie Asham. I'm the president and CEO of the Helena Area Chamber of Commerce, and we're here too in support of the feasibility study. Community space is so important, and when you're looking at growth and you're looking at places, third spaces, which is places that people don't live and they don't work, but they can go to, are so important when you're building community. And as you grow, the most special thing about East Helena is that sense of community. And I think that having libraries and having those third spaces are so important in protecting that. And so we're here. We know what great things that the Lewis and Clark Library has done in Helena and the great things that Andrea is doing out here in East Helena, and just want to support that. And this is a great solution to, you know, a growing problem. So thank you so much.
Thank you very much. Any other public comment? Anyone else? Well, we got the big timer now. Big guns.
Yeah. Boy. Mr. Mayor, members of the council, thank you for having us tonight. Great meeting. It's great to be here in East Helena. My address, 404 West Groeschel. Most of my life. I'm on the committee as well, and I won't repeat things. Andy Hunthausen, excuse me, if I didn't say my name. The idea of a new library in East Helena seems to me, for the most part, a no-brainer. But where it's going to be is the question. And so I would just, without repeating everything, just ask for your support for the feasibility study. I think this is likely a very great site and could be. So the study will tell us a lot. I think we'll answer a lot of your questions and hopefully be a place that we can land on. So thank you very much for having us. I appreciate everyone being here tonight.
Thank you, sir. 404 West Groeschel was the first place I ever jumped on trampoline. Great trying to go trampoline. It was great. Yeah, well, it was awesome.
Mr. Mayor, members of the City Council, Jim Sipich, he's telling the native who doesn't live here anymore, 214 West Groeschel, so down the street from Andy, but I do live up on the North Hill. My mother asked me to get involved in this project before she passed away about a year and a half ago. And I got to tell you, you know, for somebody who grew up here and then moved away, to come back and see the impact of the library in East Helena has been kind of mind-blowing, to be quite honest with you. And getting to know Andre and see what they're doing. But then to learn the struggles that they're dealing with today was a real eye-opener. So I've been glad to be a part of this effort, put a lot in the process, and frankly, the innovation that's being shown trying to bring together the library's needs with some space in East Helena that may not be getting used to its fullest capacity today, I think is a great solution. So I encourage you to move forward as well with the study. This group will do great work to try and find a solution that makes sense for everybody. Oops.
Thank you, Jim. Good to see you too.
Yeah, thank you.
And I really do live at 404. And there's still a trampoline in the backyard.
Nice.
It's not the same one.
No, that one, no.
It's a new one. But I have my children went through most of their years in this system. Now, my grandchildren are in the East Helena school system, having a wonderful experience, doing just great. And I just a few days ago was asked if I would step in and be the new president of the Friends of the Library group. So that's what I'm going to do that. I'm going to learn a lot more about that, but that's going to happen. And I'm glad to. I've known Andrea for a long time, and we've done a lot of different things together. As a matter of fact, I told her about, I love this story. I was telling her I was going to work on something with her, and I said, I won't be here because my daughter is ill and I have to go take care of her. And about the next year, my daughter came back here for her class reunion, and she asked me to give her a ride to the Sunday event, and I went. And who walks in but Andrea? I find out the two of them went. She said, "You're Ryan's mother?" I said, "Yeah." We didn't even know. My daughter has since passed from cancer, but I'm glad to be here. I'm really glad to get involved again more with the library. I think it's a fabulous place. My grandkids love to go there, and they really do need more room. It's really, it's time to grow. So I'm all in favor of it.
Thank you for your public comment, Kathleen. Friends of the Library got a darn good advocate in there. Any other public comment? Seeing none, council.
I would like to move to approve the feasibility study and express my interest and wholehearted faith in what the East Helena Library does for our community. So thank you.
I have a motion to approve.
A second.
And a second. All those in favor?
Aye.
This is great to see. Thanks, guys. Thank you so much. All right. Well, we talked about books. Let's talk about guns. Chris, we have a disposal of firearms on the and chief standard as well on the agenda.
Just
preface everything before Chris gives the sweet potatoes of why we're moving towards purchasing new Glock 45, model 45, the 9mm with red dot sights. For, like I said, a number of reasons. We're going through a company called Gunnarama out in Spokane. I know what it means.
You can't say that and not get a laugh. There's no way I can keep that. That made up.
Anyway, the guns we purchased about 3 years ago, they're very generous in helping agencies move in this direction. It's the future of law enforcement. Many agencies have been moving this direction for at least the last 5 years. But they're going to give us probably 75% of what we paid for our firearms when we purchased them 3 years ago. So that's pretty good return on your investment for how many rounds we fired through those firearms and stuff.
Practice.
Well,
yeah. How many people?
I mean, really, it boils down to a couple things. You know, it enhances the officer's firearm accuracy, and it mitigates liability to the cities. That's really what it's all about. And with that, I'll turn it over to Chris.
Well, you pretty much gave a presentation. I'm Officer Kirk Garvey. For those that don't know me, I don't public speak, so I'll try and keep this short and sweet and to the point. You want to go ahead? I'll be very good up here. So this is the Glock 45. What we will be going to, and I know, yeah, it looks kind of big, scary, and militaristic. We're also going to be upgrading our weapon light as well, too. So that is a big thing that I really wanted to go to, because the lights that we have right now are great if you are at home and somebody comes into your house, but in our field, they're not the greatest thing. These lights here produce a very, very bright and distracting light, which is good for us if we're in a high stress situation where we don't want people to see exactly where we're at, where we're coming from. Also, the box on the top is what we're going to mainly be talking about here, which is the red dot optic. Now, sure, everybody in this room, being from Montana, has, you know, shotguns before. The bigger thing, and the weapons that we have now, and what we're trying to get away from, thank you, is on the left-hand side, you will see we're aligning on a threat or a target. You have to put all of your focus on lining up your front dot with your two rear apertures here. That takes all of your focus off of the threat or target that you're looking at. Now, if you look to the right, you can see a clear focus of what we need to be focusing on. When we're looking at a threat, we need to be seeing we need to see what they're doing with their eyes, we need to see what they're doing with their hands, whatever movement is going on. We also need to be able to see what is going on around as well, too. If we're in a home and, you know, there's other people coming into play, we need to be able to focus on that and not so much right here at our hands. It's also limits, you know, if somebody, let's say we're dealing with somebody that doesn't speak English, everybody knows the universal police, right? They don't understand what we're saying, and we're asking for ID or whatever, and that's what they think that we're asking for, right? If somebody in a dark room starts reaching for their back pocket, we don't know what they're reaching for, right? They may be just reaching for their ID, but we don't know, especially in a high-stress situation. This is where the legality comes in, and Pete can probably attest to this. An unjustified shooting, city gets sued, and I personally get sued if I get involved in that. So if I accidentally shoot somebody that is a target or a threat, and it is unjustifiable, it's going to lead to some very bad things. So we need to be able to focus on what's in front of us and be able to determine what is a threat and what is not a threat. Some of the benefits, if we want to go to the next screen here, again, officer safety and legality are our main focus here. With officer safety, we are able to, with the system, get on target or threat acquisition a lot faster than being able to focus at my hands and then focus what's in front of me. Again, situational awareness and full scene observations are another big thing with this system that we're going to. Also, if you have ever shot a firearm before, a lot of the time you get that little one-eyed squint to really try and focus, right? With this system, it basically forces you to open both of your eyes so that you can observe everything that's going on in front of you. Again, accuracy, you know, in a high-stress situation. Unfortunately, Helena PD was involved in a shooting here recently, and I'll not go into huge details here, but when you're in a confined space with multiple people and you have a threat and one officer has already been potentially fatally stabbed, you need to be very accurate with what you're doing with your firearm. I won't go into detail too much further on that. You know, and this system as well, too, not everybody in the world that's a police officer's. You know, we do a lot of training and things like that, but there are new shooters that come into this world, and this system also really improves and helps shooters improve their abilities quicker as well, too. So, and I think I've covered kind of the legality of, you know, we get into an unjustified shooting, everybody's going to unfortunately be paying the price for that. So we're kind of behind the ball moving over to the system. The city of Helena has gone to this system. I think they've had it now for a year and a half, almost 2 years. The county has just recently, in the last 6 months, gone to this system as well, too. So we're kind of behind the ball, and that's why we're trying to get into this field and help our officers and help the city as well. And I'll not bore you anymore with all this stuff. We are also looking for approval to sell our old firearms to have some credit towards the purchase of our new firearms.
Yeah, the Gunnarama.
Through Gunnarama. Yeah. The Walmart of guns.
I don't know where this place is, but I have to go now.
Spokane. It's a great place. Yeah.
I don't even want a gun. I want to go to Gunnarama. Thanks, Chris. If any public comment on this request for the disposal of surplus firearms? Seeing none, Council.
I'll move to approve the resolution 614.
I have a motion to approve the resolution as presented.
I'll second it.
And a second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Yep, very good. That leads us to this one. So the county recently reached out regarding changing some speed limits in the area between Eastgate School and East Valley School. As you can see on the map there, that's the South County land. They can do what they want. We don't have anything to say in that. That is their pursuit of it. Their desire is to change all those roads to 20 miles an hour. I think they're responding to individual conversation or complaints or whatever. Oak Avenue, however, is the one that, where this is actually a factor for us because it is half ours. We got the west side of it, so hard to, I don't think we're quite metropolitan enough to have speed limits going one direction and different one going the other direction. So they would like us to be in line with them. And initially what I said to them is I'd like to, you know, keep all of our roads in line with our traffic study that said that, you know, and agreed this week, we should be 25, and they deemed it all that was kind of thing. However, this just kind of makes sense because it doesn't make sense to have two different speed limits on it, and that's what they would like to go with. So request here is to approve the one speed limit on Oak Avenue, which I'm sure the police officers don't want to be having different speed limits go in different directions. So in this instance, it makes kind of sense. They're going to do funny either way on their side of it. So this makes sense. At that point, I will open it up to public comment. Seeing none, council.
You know, I don't have a problem with it at all, but it seems school limits all used to be 15.
They're 15 too during
some
school hours.
Some are 15 too, and the time frame doesn't, I think, helpfully, again, this is the county's baby, so I don't really have the. There's certain ones that are 15. Like, yeah. I know by the Helen Middle School it is, and by Jefferson it is.
Yeah.
There are ones that are 25. There's.
Will they pave our half if we do 20?
Totally separate conversation, but that is.
Oh, okay.
That conversation.
Well, there's somebody in the room that maybe could answer.
Totally separate conversation, but there has been discussion regarding the paving of Oak Avenue.
Sure.
Correct, Devin?
No, I'm.
You may see that in the budget cycle. I really don't like deviating from our plan and having a holistic approach and just doing things because one person complained. We've been down that road of stop signs, obviously, which caused our traffic study. Not a giant fan of this, but I think in this instance, Kevin has spoken to me several times and convinced me this is the right thing to do. Somewhat.
I think it's good to slow down around schools.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this is the backside of the school. I don't know, but yeah, it makes sense, yeah.
I'll move to approve.
I have a motion to approve.
I'll second.
And a second. All those in favor?
Aye.
All right. That's all the fun business. Now it's just got to listen to boring people like me. Though. What has the mayor been up to? Obviously, Kevin stole a couple of my things. Recorded mine similar. Obviously, we've had the hiccup of the grant funding regarding the raise grant. And the cops thing is still fairly functional. The money for that. But there's a pause on those federally and bigger picture for us with the raise grant one or the bill grant is it now? I'll learn the new acronym soon, I'm sure. I spent 8 months mm-hmm. at raise and learning it, and now I'll say build, I guess. That being said, the administration of that grant and the people that were doing that, we're going to have a delay, and unfortunate. And unfortunate for that, we're doing everything on our end to have our application as ready as possible for when the federal government is ready to move forward with projects. All we can do. Not my favorite thing to talk about. If you see Shane Persley, give him a hug. I did that last night. League meeting. We had the League of Cities and Towns had a meeting. The District 7 representative, which is just Helena, East Helena, Boulder, and Townsend. Just kind of going over legislation. So went to that, and you know, everything's kind of at the start right now. There's some things that are certainly concerning for cities. That seems to be the direction, but we'll, when bigger things come up and opportunities come up for people to, or if the city wants to step in, you guys will definitely be a part of the discussions. Had a meeting with Mary and Cindy. Can we share that? I'm gonna the trust group is reappointed for 2 years.
Oh,
so we got some good news there. Big news there. We all sent that letter, and I think that relationship is really valuable, and that institutional knowledge that we have with those with that trust group and that cleanup has been really important for us. So I'm excited to continue to work with them. They're moving in upstairs. Their presence is Stan, which is one of my favorite people in town. So it's good to he ain't gonna hang out here, and he's gonna be on the streets. But if I see him, it'll be fun to see Stan. Other than that, I went to. The Exchange Club gave out an ACE award from the school district there. Only reason I was there is because the kid I like at my house was getting that award. So thanks, guys. that was cool to see the Exchange Club give out award for one of these other students. Just happened to be the kid I like at my house. So yeah, it was cool to see they gave her an Apple pull and computer, which more than I can buy for. So it was cool. But that's what I've been up to. Nothing too exciting other than that. Any questions? All right, Councilmember reports. Councilmember Dahl.
I have nothing to report.
Councilmember Leland.
I have nothing either.
Councilmember Feist.
Just to thank you with passing my dad, everybody's support and you guys coming and messages and
Really appreciate that. Otherwise, the only other thing I did since the last time was this visit with Adam and the deputy director for the CPACE program and about the opportunity. So, and thanks for getting it on the agenda for this week.
Yeah, no problem. Councilor Ferguson.
I don't have anything.
You know, I have one thing that's not on here. As far as I know, we're having a planning board meeting next Thursday, but I haven't heard. There was one schedule, but I'm not sure. I haven't heard from the chair if we are or aren't, or from Jeremy.
Staff will reach out to you.
Yes, staff. It's on the calendar. That's the only thing I know.
Yeah, you might not have a lot of planning to do, but there you go.
Earlier I misspoke on Don's question on the penalty on the Jake breaks. It is just in that Title IX for it's a traffic violation. So it's up to $500 fine, up to 6 months in jail, which you would never get for a Jake break, but that just it's already captured in there.
Maybe if it was your 18th time.
Yeah. Well, that's why it's there. However, yeah. So you probably won't see an amendment because it's already in the statute or in the city code. And other than that, yeah, things are I would say moving at the Capitol and not seen anything too concerning on the House side yet, but there's other stuff on the other side that may be so. But around each day and in here on the weekends, getting prepped and working with Gavin, so things seem to be progressing pretty darn well. If you have any questions, let me know. That's it.
Thank you, Pete. Gosh, we're down to the payment of the bills. How would we do that? Anybody, you got any ideas?
Now, are we doing January's bills?
I have a motion to pay the bills.
Second.
In a second. All those in favor?
Aye.
All right. I will adjourn this meeting at 7:41. Thanks, guys.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. You too. Thanks. Appreciate it.